It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says e-cigarettes are unsafe for kids, teens, and young adults. And young people who vape may be more likely to smoke cigarettes in the future. We meet a Wisconsin physician who shares these concerns in a documentary series called Big Vape, investigating the e-cigarette maker Juul. Call in with a question. You can share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Luella Amos is a pediatric pulmonologist at Children's Wisconsin and an associate professor of pediatrics at Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Amos, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why do teens vape?
So that's a very, very loaded question, I would say. You know, back in 2014, that was kind of when cigarettes, you know, traditional cigarettes were somewhat popular, like 1 in 10 students were smoking. But then they switched to e-cigarettes around that time just because they're a little bit more discreet. It doesn't hurt as much in the throat, and they can get a lot more nicotine through certain e-cigarette products at that time. So it was a very popular device, and they could do it, you know, in the home without anyone knowing it and in school.
So that's 2014, progressed to 2019. You're seeing lung injuries, and there is a rash of concern out there that the e-cigarettes are really causing harm. What have you noticed in the trends in the 5 years since the lung injury outbreak?
So as we all know, there was the COVID-19 pandemic of essentially 2020 when we shut down. So hospitalizations related to lung injury definitely decreased. I can't say that vaping decreased, but people were sort of made aware of the effects of e-cigarettes, especially vaping THC, which seemed to be a major culprit in these lung injuries. So I would say hospitalizations decreased, but vaping itself did not.
Can you explain a little bit more about the marijuana concentrate in this highly potent concentrated form of THC? What's going on there?
So back in 2019, we discovered that there were THC cartridges, also known as carts, being distributed throughout the country, honestly. And they contained a cutting agent called vitamin E acetate, which had the same viscosity as THC oil. And this is a way that people could sell and distribute THC in cartridges for much cheaper. And so what we discovered was that you're not supposed to inhale vitamin E acetate oil because it causes a significant lung injury, pneumonia, and potentially death in if it's inhaled in a e-cigarette.
The marijuana concentrates, they contain really high THC levels, and this manufactured marijuana in the potency that is going into these types of cartridges and these e-cigarettes. What are the concerns there? What are you seeing?
So the thing with vaping THC is that you kind of alluded to this, is that you can get a high concentration of the psychoactive ingredient of cannabis, which is THC, into the body, and it's not well received. You know, you can get pretty toxic levels, much higher than smoking marijuana, you know, through a joint or something like that. And so you get a very quick high. You get you can get significant nausea and vomiting. Some of the kids had severe weight loss, like 20 to 40 pounds weight loss over months because of this, the GI or the gastrointestinal effects of THC vaping outside of the lung injury that it was causing. And it was, you know, potentially indolent, where they were starting to develop shortness of breath doing normal activities of daily living.
The legal age to buy vapes and e-cigarettes is 21. How are kids getting their hands on these devices?
So yeah, in 2019, federal law was passed to raise the age of tobacco product purchase from 18 to 21. also known as Tobacco 21. However, state law also needs to be congruent with federal law so that retail partners and law enforcement can actually enforce this federal law. The issue is that Wisconsin state law still has it at 18. It hasn't quite passed, which is kind of ironic since Wisconsin was the first to sort of discover the lung injury, or at least go public with it, back in 2019.
The Netflix recently coming out with a docuseries on the vaping industry, Big Vape, and it says that the manufacturer Juul was created to help adults quit smoking tobacco, but marketed its products directly to teens. How big of a role does marketing have in teen vaping?
It's huge. I mean, we know what social media does, you know, to teens. They're on it all the time, and that's what they see, and that's what attracts them. So if it looks like a really cool thing to do, the people vaping are, you know, good looking, thin, you know, just very attractive people. This is something that they'll kind of gravitate to. Also, you know, marketing flavors. That's a very appealing thing. I mean, majority of kids who vape will only vape if it's flavored, not the menthol necessarily, or just the tobacco taste. They want the flavors,
like the tutti frutti flavors. Mm-hmm. That you would think that would be very much a child type target, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, adults like it too, but kids definitely will gravitate towards the flavors.
The World Health Organization wants a ban on flavored vapes, similar to how flavored cigarettes are controlled. And the opponents to stricter vape regulation say it would reinforce misunderstandings about the risks of vaping. What do you make of this argument against tighter vape regulations around flavors?
I am in favor of it. You know, kind of going back to the initial intent, we think that Juul had to kind of curb traditional cigarette smoking. You know, if you really want to quit smoking cigarettes, you really should not care about the flavor. You know, you kind of want to switch to a different device, kind of like nicotine patches, nicotine gum, and e-cigarettes. You know, they do contain nicotine. It's just a replacement, but the flavors are dangerous. You know, it's a fine line of kind of reeling in the wrong population to use these devices. And so I feel strongly that if you really want to quit smoking cigarettes and you're willing to use e-cigarettes to do that, I feel that the flavors should really not play a role.
Dr. Luella Amos with us, pediatric pulmonologist at Children's Wisconsin, as we examine the risks of e-cigarettes to lung function in kids and teens. Be part of the discussion at any point. Call in with a question. You can bring your perspective at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We talk with a Children's Wisconsin pediatric pulmonologist about the harmful effects of vaping. Dr. Luella Amos is here, was interviewed for a Netflix docuseries called Big Vape. Here's a moment from that trailer.
I don't think anyone could have anticipated how many children would want this product.
People at Juul were sending out free products to a long list of influencers and celebrities. When you put something like the Juul campaign out into the world, it's like releasing a genie from a bottle.
Call in with a question. You can share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Mark in Caledonia. Mark, hi.
Hi. I just wanted the guest and you to know that, and maybe your guest already knows this, but that phenomenon she was talking about where people lose their appetite and lose weight and feel nauseous, that can happen to anybody that smokes regularly. It doesn't have to be from vaping. I've seen people complain about their appetite and they're losing weight, and then when they slack off on the marijuana or give it up, it changes and they gain weight and everything gets back to normal. So it's just, it's the THC that can do that. It isn't necessarily vaping only. I can see where it would be worse with vaping because of the concentrations they're getting, especially if they do it regularly.
Mark, thank you for the call. Dr. Amos, what are the effects, whether it is nausea or the effects on major organs in the brain?
You know, I think I completely agree with that. You know, there are different ways to consume or, use THC. You can eat it, you can smoke it, you can vape it. But what we do notice is that the way that e-cigarettes have been used to vape THC, the concentration is much higher than you would get with a joint. There's a lot lost in the side stream smoke. And so, you know, to be able to titrate it, you know, to kind of wait and see, you know, okay, I can use a little bit more to get the high or whatever. You kind of get the high quickly, at least the way that these cartridges have been working for the teens themselves. Like they're out, you know, after just a little bit of use, they can't even function potentially wherever they're using it. You know, they pass out or they feel sick right away.
Let's bring in Jim in Kenosha now. Jim, hi.
Yes, I got a quick experience, and then I want a question about the medical THC. My sister-in-law actually died from the vaping disease. It really is harmful, that vitamin E viscosity that cannot flush out of the lungs. She got on oxygen for years. It got so worse, she became a recipient for a lung. She suffered with a lung transplant. She was on a good trajectory, but after a year, she passed last August. And she actually was trying to get away from pain medication that was addictive. And it was my understanding she was prescribed it. And my question is, do they still have THC prescribed for pain management that's vaping?
Dr. Amos?
Yes, thank you for that question. And I am so sorry about your family member. You know, from what I have learned, at least, you know, on the adult side, perhaps they have been, and I don't know in this state if they are prescribing it, but in children, not, no, they are not. They may be using it in a way for the anorexia caused by chemotherapy, potentially, just to kind of help with appetite in children. But that's really, it's not obviously going to be vaped. It's going to be consumed. Given that way and not inhaled. So long and short, I don't think so. I am not sure about this state, potentially other states, yes.
With vaping and serious vaping, Dr. Amos, how resilient are the teens' lungs? How much can they recover in lung function?
Yeah, so it's a very, very good question. There's a range, I would say. And those teens who have suffered lung injury, the ones who have come back to see me in follow-up or see any of our pulmonologists in follow-up, there's a reason why they're still in follow-up. It's because they still have symptoms. And the symptoms are very nonspecific. It could be chest pain. It could be shortness of breath with activity that they normally would not have had issues with in the past. But when we do imaging like chest x-rays, chest CTs, or look at pulmonary function tests and other forms of objective information, there really doesn't seem to be residual disease. However, subjectively, they don't feel the same. So it's very hard to treat something that's not tangible. We don't know exactly why they feel the way they do. But that's kind of what we're experiencing now, unfortunately.
So much to learn there, so much to research. Dr. Luella Amos with us, pediatric pulmonologist at Children's Wisconsin. Let's go to Alec in Milwaukee. Alec, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
So I just caught the conversation. I love the conversation. It's actually really relevant to us right now. I actually work in a high school, and I'm a Spanish teacher, and this is something we've been battling. So, you know, the past 2 years, it's been really difficult for us, trying to get it out of the schools, but also trying to get the kids informed. And one of the things I wanted to maybe see if the speaker could talk to is the fact of just the accessibility or the size of these vapes. And I'm not sure if it's changed over time. This is kind of new to us. You know, we're kind of getting caught up in it. And so, you know, it's tough for us because it's like the size of a lighter or a small tube of lipstick. Mm. And so, you know, getting a hold of it can be so hard for us, and getting track of it, because the students, you know, all it takes is we'll find it in a pencil pouch. And so it's hard, but we're learning to try to push the education on them. And we just held a little seminar last week in the gym. So, you know, we're trying our best.
Alec, thank you for calling in. Dr. Amos.
Alec, yeah, I applaud you and your educators for trying to learn about it. I think that is the first step, and it's vital. You've got to learn about e-cigarettes. You've got to be able to recognize it so you can, know if it's going on and where it's going on. That is, even for parents, it's very important to be able to know what one looks like and know what one could smell like, because they will be doing it in the rooms, in the bathrooms, at the home, in the school. And that's the first thing that you need to do. You also kind of need to know the symptoms of it. So we talked about some of the symptoms of vaping THC, nausea, vomiting, weight loss, shortness of breath, chest pain. Mm. Nicotine withdrawal is another thing to kind of keep track of, because they can look, you know, teenagers may be irritable in general, but more irritability, restlessness, inability to concentrate, sweating, because they can actually withdraw, you know, overnight, 8 hours of no vaping.
Well, Dr. Amos,
they can definitely have symptoms like that.
Dr. Amos, thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thank you so much for having this conversation.
Dr. Luella Amos, pediatric pulmonologist at Children's Wisconsin, associate professor of pediatrics at Medical College of Wisconsin. And for disclosure, Medical College of Wisconsin is a business sponsor of WPR. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.